Welcome back to Science TLDR, the show where we take the most complex research and break it down into something that hopefully everyone can understand. Mm-hmm. This week, we're diving into a paper published just last week in Science called Scratching Promotes Allergic Inflammation and Host Defense via Neurogenic Mast Cell Activation.
Yeah, it's quite a mouthful.
It is quite a mouthful.
But really interesting implications from this study.
It is, and it's something that... you know, I think we all just take for granted, right? Like we have an itch, we scratch it. But as this paper is exploring, it's not quite that simple.
Yeah. And it's been kind of an overlooked area of research.
Right.
So this paper really looking at how that whole cycle of itch and scratch works is quite fascinating.
Yeah. And as the title suggests, it's more than just a behavioral response. It actually has some pretty significant physiological effects on our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when it comes to inflammation.
Yeah, and that's one of the key findings that they really highlight in this paper, is that scratching, you know, we tend to think of it as a reaction to an itch. But what they found is that scratching itself actually contributes to the inflammatory response, particularly in the context of allergic reactions.
So it's not just the allergen triggering inflammation. It's our own bodies sort of amplifying that response through this act of scratching.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be helpful to break down how exactly that works.
Sure.
What's going on at the cellular level?
So what they found was that when you scratch, it activates certain sensory neurons called nociceptors. Now, these are the same neurons that are involved in pain sensation.
So just to clarify, these nociceptors, they're sort of like the body's alarm system, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're sensing something is wrong and sending a signal to the brain.
Exactly. And normally, they're responding to things like heat or pressure or chemicals that could cause damage.
Right.
But in this case, they're being activated by the mechanical stimulation of scratching.
Okay, so scratching triggers these nociceptors. What happens next?
Well, once these nociceptors are activated, they release a neuropeptide called Substance P.
Substance P, that's a mouthful.
It is, yeah.
And I think for our listeners who might not be familiar with neuropeptides, maybe just a quick explanation, they're essentially signaling molecules, right? Like little messengers that communicate between cells in the nervous system.
Exactly. So Substance P is involved in a variety of processes, including pain transmission, but it seems to play a critical role in this inflammatory cascade as well.
Oh, interesting. So this is where the itch-scratch cycle starts to get really interesting.
So Substance P acts on another type of cell called mast cells. Now, mast cells are immune cells that are found in the skin, and they're known for their role in allergic reactions.
So they're kind of like the first responders of the immune system.
In a way, yes. When they encounter an allergen, they release histamine and other inflammatory mediators that cause that familiar itchy sensation.
So scratching activates these nociceptors, which release Substance P, which then acts on these already primed mast cells.
Right. It's like adding fuel to the fire. The mast cells are already in a heightened state of alert because of the allergen. And then Substance P comes along and gives them an extra boost, leading to a surge in inflammation.
So it's not just the allergen itself causing inflammation. It's our own body amplifying that response through this scratching-induced Substance P release.
Precisely.
What are the implications of this finding? I mean, we all know that scratching makes an itch worse. But is there anything more to it?
Well, for one, it gives us a much clearer understanding of why scratching exacerbates allergic reaction.
Right. It's not just a behavioral response. It's actually actively contributing to the problem.
Exactly. And this paper specifically highlights the release of tumor necrosis factor, or TNF, as a key downstream effect of this Substance P release.
And TNF, for our listeners, that's a very potent pro-inflammatory cytokine. So it basically amplifies the inflammatory response even further.
Right. It's like a chain reaction. Scratching leads to Substance P release, which triggers mast cells to release TNF, which then calls in other inflammatory cells and amplifies the whole cascade.
So scratching is essentially triggering this domino effect that leads to more swelling, redness, and general discomfort.
Yeah, and this excessive inflammatory response can be particularly problematic for individuals with allergic skin conditions like atopic dermatitis. For them, this itch-scratch cycle can become a vicious loop, with scratching exacerbating their symptoms and potentially even contributing to the chronic nature of their condition.
So if scratching is so detrimental, why do we do it? I mean, it seems counterintuitive that we would have this deeply ingrained instinct that actually makes things worse.
Well, that's where things get even more interesting. The researchers proposed that this seemingly counterproductive response might actually have an evolutionary advantage, particularly when it comes to fighting off skin infections.
So while scratching might be a liability in the context of allergies, it could be an asset in other situations.
It seems that way. Think about it. In our evolutionary past, we were constantly exposed to pathogens on our skin. Scratching, while crude, could have been an effective way to physically remove those pathogens or disrupt their colonization.
Interesting. It's like our body's ancient, albeit somewhat blunt, way of dealing with microbes on the skin surface.
Precisely. And the researchers found evidence to support this hypothesis. They looked at Staphylococcus aureus, a common bacteria that can cause skin infections, and in mice, scratching actually helped reduce Staph aureus levels on the skin.
So scratching, while potentially exacerbating allergic reactions, could actually be beneficial in combating certain bacterial infections. It seems like a double-edged sword.
I think that's a good analogy. It suggests that scratching might be part of a delicate balance, one that's been finely tuned over millennia to optimize our survival in a world teeming with microbes, and where allergies may not have been as significant a pressure.
So it's not just about inflammation, it's about host defense as well.
Mm.
This study really complicates our understanding of the itch-scratch cycle, doesn't it?
It definitely does. It highlights the complexity of our biological systems and reminds us that even seemingly simple actions, like scratching, can have multifaceted effects depending on the context.
And it makes you wonder if there's a way to separate those effects.
Yeah.
Like, could we harness the potential benefits of scratching for host defense while minimizing its negative consequences in allergic reactions?
That's a great question, and one that I'm sure researchers will be exploring further. This study certainly opens up some exciting new avenues for research and potential therapeutic interventions.
Absolutely. And it speaks to the power of scientific inquiry to uncover these hidden connections and challenge our assumptions about the world around us. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's delve a bit deeper into the specifics of this study.
Sure.
How did the researchers actually go about investigating this?
They used a variety of techniques, both in vitro and in vivo.
Which basically means they studied cells in a dish and also in living animals, in this case, mice.
Right. They wanted to get a comprehensive understanding of the mechanisms involved at multiple levels.
So what were some of the key experiments they conducted?
Well, one of the first things they did was to look at the role of nociceptors. They used a technique called optogenetics to specifically activate nociceptors in the skin of mice using light. And what they found was that this activation alone, even in the absence of an allergen, was enough to trigger the release of substance P and subsequent inflammation.
Wow. So they were able to essentially bypass the itch and directly stimulate the neurons that lead to inflammation.
Exactly. And that provided strong evidence that these nociceptors are playing a key role in this pathway.
And what about substance P? How did they confirm its involvement?
They used genetically modified mice that lack the receptor for substance P. And as expected, those mice showed significantly reduced scratching behavior and inflammation in response to allergens.
So by removing the ability of cells to respond to substance P, they were able to essentially block its effects.
Precisely. And that further strengthens the evidence that substance P is a crucial mediator in this inflammatory cascade.
This paper also delves into the impact of scratching on the skin's microbiome.
Right. The microbiome, for our listeners who might not be familiar, is the community of bacteria and other microorganisms that live on our skin.
And it's becoming increasingly clear that the microbiome plays a significant role in our overall health, including skin health.
Absolutely. And what the researchers found in the study is that scratching can significantly alter the composition of the microbiome.
Really? So not only is scratching directly impacting inflammation through this substance P pathway, it's also indirectly affecting the skin's ecosystem of bacteria. That's a lot of influence for a simple act.
It is, and it raises some important questions about the potential long-term consequences of scratching, particularly for people with chronic skin conditions.
Right. Because disrupting the microbiome can have a variety of downstream effects, both good and bad.
Exactly. And that's something that researchers are still trying to fully understand. But this study certainly highlights the need to consider the microbiome when studying the itch-scratch cycle.
It's a reminder that our bodies are complex ecosystems, and everything is interconnected. What we do to one part of the system can have ripple effects throughout.
Absolutely. And that's what makes this research so fascinating. It's uncovering these intricate connections and giving us a deeper appreciation for the complexity of human biology.
Well, this deep dive has certainly been enlightening so far, wouldn't you say?
I agree. It's remarkable how much complexity lies beneath the surface of something as seemingly mundane as scratching an itch.
And as with any good scientific research, this paper raises more questions than it answers. But I think that's a good thing. It means we're pushing the boundaries of knowledge and opening up new avenues for exploration.
Absolutely. This study has really laid the groundwork for a whole new area of research, and I'm excited to see where it leads in the years to come.
Me too.
Yeah.
But for now, I think we've given our listeners plenty to chew on.
Yeah, I think we scratched the surface, so to speak.
Oh, I see what you did there. Well played. And I think one of the most exciting aspects of this research is its potential implications for the development of new therapies.
Oh, absolutely. This study really opens up some intriguing possibilities for treating inflammatory skin conditions. I mean, imagine if we could somehow block that substance P release or inhibit its effects on those mast cells.
It would be a game changer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, instead of just treating the symptoms, we could actually target the root cause of the problem, the inflammation itself.
Right. We could potentially break that itch-scratch cycle before it even starts.
Exactly. And that could lead to much more effective treatments for conditions like eczema, psoriasis, even atopic dermatitis, conditions that cause a lot of suffering for so many people.
Absolutely. And it really speaks to the power of basic research, right? Like, this study wasn't even initially focused on developing new therapies. But by uncovering these fundamental mechanisms, they've inadvertently opened up a whole new avenue for therapeutic intervention.
Yeah, it's a great example of how serendipity plays a role in scientific discovery.
So how do you see this research translating into actual treatments? What are some of the potential approaches that scientists might explore?
Well, one possibility is to develop drugs that specifically block substance P. Maybe small molecule inhibitors that prevent its release from those nociceptors or prevent it from binding to the mast cells.
So basically interfering with its ability to act as that inflammatory signal.
Exactly. Another approach might be to target the mast cells themselves, perhaps using monoclonal antibodies to block the specific receptor that substance P binds to.
I've heard of monoclonal antibodies being used for other conditions like autoimmune disorders. Could you maybe explain a bit more about how they work?
Sure. They're basically engineered proteins that can bind to very specific targets in the body. In this case, they could be designed to bind to the substance P receptor on mast cells and essentially prevent substance P from activating them.
That's fascinating. It's like having these tiny little guided missiles that can seek out and neutralize the inflammatory culprits.
It's a very targeted approach, and that's why it's so promising for treating these kinds of conditions, because it minimizes the risk of side effects that you might get with more broad-spectrum treatments like steroids.
Right. Because steroids suppress the entire immune system, which can leave you vulnerable to other infections.
Exactly. So having these more targeted therapies could be a real game changer for people with chronic skin conditions.
Of course, any new drug development takes time, right? Mm-hmm. It has to go through rigorous testing to ensure safety and effectiveness. But it's still really exciting to think about the potential.
Oh, absolutely. This study is just the first step. But it's a very promising step, and it definitely gives us hope that better treatments are on the horizon.
I know we've been focusing a lot on the clinical implications, but I do want to circle back to the experimental side of things, because I thought some of the techniques they used in this study were really clever, particularly how they investigated the role of nociceptors in substance P.
Yeah, they used some very elegant approaches. One that stood out to me was their use of optogenetics. Have you heard of that?
I have. It's a relatively new technique, right, where they can use light to control the activity of specific cells.
Exactly. It's incredibly precise. And in this study, they used it to specifically activate those nociceptors in the skin of mice.
So they were essentially able to trigger those neurons just by shining light on them.
Right. And what they found was that just activating those nociceptors, even without any allergen present, was enough to cause the release of substance P and subsequent inflammation.
So that really solidified the idea that scratching itself, independent of any external irritant, can actually drive that inflammatory response.
Right. It really confirmed the role of nociceptors in this pathway. And then to further support the role of substance P, they used genetically modified mice that lack the receptor for substance P.
So those mice wouldn't be able to respond to substance P even if it was released.
Exactly. And as you might expect, those mice showed significantly reduced scratching behavior and inflammation in response to allergens.
It's like they removed a crucial piece of the puzzle and the whole thing fell apart.
Yeah, it's a really elegant way to demonstrate the importance of a specific molecule in a complex biological process.
It's fascinating, isn't it? How we can manipulate these intricate systems at such a granular level.
It really is. And it speaks to the incredible progress that's been made in the field of neuroscience in recent years. We're able to probe and manipulate the nervous system in ways that were unimaginable just a decade or two ago.
And that's leading to a much deeper understanding of how the nervous system interacts with other systems in the body. like the immune system.
Right. We're starting to see that these systems are much more interconnected than we previously thought. And that's opening up whole new avenues for treating a wide range of diseases.
Like in this case, where we're seeing how the nervous system, through the release of substance P, can actually drive inflammation in the skin.
Exactly. It's a reminder that the nervous system doesn't just control our thoughts and movements. It also plays a critical role in regulating our immune responses.
Which makes sense when you think about it. The nervous system is constantly monitoring the environment, both internal and external. And it needs to be able to communicate with the immune system to mount an appropriate response to any threats.
Absolutely. And this study has really shed light on one specific pathway by which that communication occurs. That pathway involving nociceptors, substance P, and mast cells.
This paper also dives into the impact of scratching on the skin's microbiome.
Right. It's a fascinating area of research because we're just beginning to understand the complex role that the microbiome plays in our overall health, including skin health.
So for our listeners who might not be familiar, the microbiome is basically the community of trillions of bacteria and other microorganisms that live on and inside our bodies.
And we're learning that these microbes are not just passive passengers. They actually play a very active role in shaping our immune system, our metabolism, even our behavior.
It's like we have this whole other ecosystem living inside us.
And it's an incredibly diverse ecosystem. Different parts of the body have different microbial communities. And the skin, being our largest organ, has its own unique microbiome.
And what the researchers found in this study is that scratching can actually alter the composition of that skin microbiome.
Right. It's not entirely clear yet what the long-term consequences of that might be, but it's definitely something that warrants further investigation. Because we know that disrupting the microbiome can have both positive and negative effects.
Right. So it's possible that scratching, while it might be helping to remove some pathogens in the short term, could also be disrupting the delicate balance of the skin microbiome in a way that could lead to other problems down the road.
It's like a double-edged sword, as we've discussed. But the more we understand about these complex interactions, the better equipped we'll be to develop strategies for managing them.
It's a reminder that we can't view our bodies in isolation. We're constantly interacting with the world around us, including the trillions of microbes that call our bodies home.
Absolutely. And that interaction is a two-way street. The microbes are influencing us just as much as we're influencing them.
It's a really exciting time to be studying the microbiome because we're just starting to scratch the surface of its complexity and potential.
I think that's a good place to leave it for now.
I agree. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, and it really underscores the importance of taking a holistic view of human health. We can't just focus on one organ or one system in isolation. We have to consider the interconnectedness of everything.
Absolutely. It's all about systems biology, understanding how all these different pieces fit together. And that includes the microbiome, which is really like another organ in its own right.
I think that's a great analogy. And it makes me wonder about the potential therapeutic implications of this research. We've talked about targeting substance P and mast cells. But could there also be ways to modulate the microbiome to influence the itch scratch cycle?
That's a really interesting question, and it's something that researchers are definitely exploring. We know that certain probiotics and prebiotics can influence the composition and activity of the gut microbiome. So it stands to reason that we might be able to do something similar for the skin microbiome.
So potentially using topical creams or lotions that contain beneficial bacteria or that promote the growth of those bacteria.
Exactly. And there's already some evidence that this might be a viable approach. For example, there have been studies showing that certain strains of bacteria can actually reduce skin inflammation.
So it's not just about getting rid of the bad bacteria, it's also about promoting the growth of the good bacteria.
Right. It's all about maintaining that balance, that diversity within the microbial community.
Which is something that scratching seems to disrupt.
That's right. So it's possible that by restoring that balance, we could actually reduce the urge to scratch in the first place.
Now that would be a game changer.
It would. And it's definitely an area that warrants further research. But it's exciting to think about the possibilities.
Absolutely. Well, this deep dive has certainly been eye-opening, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. This paper really challenges our assumptions about something as seemingly simple as scratching an itch.
And it highlights the incredible complexity of our biological systems.
And the importance of continuing to explore those systems. Because the more we learn, the more we realize how much we still don't know.
That's the beauty of science, isn't it? It's a never-ending quest for knowledge.
And that quest often leads to unexpected discoveries, like the findings of this study.
Which could ultimately lead to new and better treatments for people suffering from these chronic skin conditions.
That's the hope. And I, for one, am excited to see what the future holds.
Me too. Well, I think we've covered just about everything we can on this topic. Any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
Just a reminder that even though scratching can feel good in the moment, it's often not the best solution in the long run, especially if you have a skin condition like eczema or psoriasis.
Good advice. And if you are struggling with one of these conditions, talk to your doctor. There are treatments available that can help.
Absolutely. And don't give up hope. Research is constantly moving forward, and new and better treatments are on the horizon.
Well said. And that brings us to the end of another deep dive here on Science TLDR. As always, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll be back next week with another fascinating paper to dissect.
Until then, keep those brains curious.
And we'll see you next time.